In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, we're going to be doing the 31st Sunday in the year, and moving along on our consideration about, you know, purity of heart and contemplation. And I want to talk about, we've talked about the drives. Last time we looked at, gave an exegesis of that text in Ephesians 4:17 and following. Now I want to go back to the anthropology of the great fathers of the church in their understanding of how we grow in the knowledge of God. And I want to talk first and foremost about the memory. You see, the memory is that faculty which disturbs us. It doesn't always have to be something disturbing that is brought to mind, but it keeps us from being aware. In other words, a fully recollected person is one who preserves the memory of God. That is aware of the presence of God all the time. Now, we have to try to do that. Nobody talks about that anymore. Even in the church, people are kind of living around on the edge of their fingertips, you know, the latest TV, the latest whatever. Nobody's guarding this memory, this awareness of God. So, in this treatment of the healing of the heart, I'm going to spend this section on the memory, and then we'll start part two the next time on the healing of the heart. There are some wonderful quotes here that I'm going to, from Maximus the Confessor, St. Athanasius, and so forth, that I want to look at. The first one is also by Athanasius. Now the soul of mankind, not satisfied with the devising of evil, began by degrees to venture upon what is worse still. For having experience of diversities of pleasures, and girt about with oblivion, you see, no memory, of things divine, being pleased, moreover, and having in view the passions of the body, and nothing but things present and opinions about them, ceased to think that anything existed beyond what is seen, or that anything was good save things temporal and bodily. So turning away and forgetting, that's the word, you see, forgetting that she was in the image of the good God, she no longer, by the power which is in her, sees God the Word, after whose likeness she is made, but having departed from herself, imagines and feigns what is not. St. Bernard, another great spiritual master and the last of the fathers, his whole vision of how we grow in holiness is that we leave the region of dissimilitude and enter the region of similitude. You see, we're made in the image and likeness of God. So we're not in the likeness of God anymore. We're in the image, but not the likeness. And so all of this work, which is prayer and virtue, see, prayer is the key, because if we're really praying, the Holy Spirit will remind us all day long and will keep alive, little by little, the memory of God, which is what we mean by recollection. It doesn't mean you can't think of anything else. You have to. But there's an abiding awareness of God, a memory of God. Now, St. Athanasius is going to trace out for us how our memory has become so false and doesn't preserve for us the awareness of God, along with, you know, what I ate for supper yesterday, if it matters. But the deep thing in our spirit is this awareness of God, the memory of God. Now, this is in his treatise against the pagans. Now, the soul of mankind, not satisfied with the devising of evil, began by degrees to venture upon what is worse still. For having experience of diversities of pleasures and girt about with oblivion, notice his word, huh? Oblivion of things divine, forgetting things divine. Don't you see how that happens? And in the middle of the Super Bowl, what are you thinking about? Now, that's, you know, reasonable if after the game you can replay Jesus and not just the Super Bowl. In other words, if these worldly, present, physical things occupy your mind, then you're losing the memory of God. And that's the essence of a mature Christian life. But we have to practice that, okay. So the oblivion of things divine, being pleased, moreover, and having in view the passions of the body, and nothing but things present and opinions about them. You see where that's really very powerful? The television. Right there, especially the news, right there. Can we lose any perspective? So turning away and forgetting that she was in the image of the good God, she no longer by the power which is in her sees God the Word, after whose likeness she is made, but having departed from herself, imagines and feigns what is not. Oh, do you see the problem? And why we have to have time? And why I always say, turn the radio off in the car. You know, watch where you're driving. That's a good idea. But keep your mind aware of God and learn little tricks. Maybe you say the rosary to yourself. There's some elementary things we can do. Make acts of faith and love and hope. Make them up yourself. Oh my God, I believe that you are one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I believe that you created us. I believe, most blessed word of God, that you came among us, that you taught us, that you saved us, you died in an act of love for us, that you rose and poured out the Holy Spirit. And just keep making an act of faith and then start on hope to keep the memory of God alive. That's what I'm saying. I'm going on now with Maximus the Confessor, one of the great fathers of the church, only being rediscovered now. For as if a man, when the sun is shining on the whole earth, illumined by his light, were to shut fast his eyes and imagine darkness where no darkness exists, and then walk, wandering as if in darkness, often falling and going down steep places, thinking it was dark and not light, or imagining that he sees, he does not see at all. So too, that's his image. Now here's what he's going to apply it to. The soul of man, shutting fast her eyes, by which she is able to see God. Isn't that a powerful phrase? He doesn't mean to be a different vision. You see, the cardia, the heart, the liv, has as its basic reality a direct relationship to God. I've mentioned that before. It's very beautifully described in Professor Robert Schwemann's book. I've forgotten the title of it, but it says, no, Person and Thing, or some title like that. And it's in English now. Okay. To be a person is to be aware of God, because the depth of our being is oriented to God. And when we forget that, or when we're caught up in a million other things, the latest ball scores, the price of steak, whatever, we wander from God. And that doesn't mean it has to be false and you're always around rattling your rosary beads. It means you find for yourself the way to be aware of God, so that when you sit down in the car and you're ready to start it, your mind automatically moves toward God. What it's doing there is yielding to the Holy Spirit, who's moving you to God. If your mind's filled with 1,000 things, I'm going to tell him that, I'm going to tell her that, I'm going to do this, that jerk did this to me. You see? No, stop all that. And let the Holy Spirit recover for you your memory of God and your awareness of the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ dwells in you. I live, now not I, Christ lives in me. Okay. Cease to think that anything existed beyond what is seen, or that anything was good save things temporal and bodily. So, turning away and forgetting that she was in the image of the good God, she no longer, by the power which is in her, sees God the Word, after whose likeness she is made. He doesn't mean beatific vision, but he means we know that he's there. We're aware of him, even if we can't articulate how. But having departed from herself, imagines and feigns what is not, concentrated on all things that are not important. And therefore, losing our capacity, our prudence, to judge what is important and how to go for it. Now, he gives this example. For as if a man, when the sun is shining and the whole earth illumined by its light, were to shut fast his eyes and imagine darkness where no darkness exists, and then wandering as if in darkness, often falling and going down steep places, thinking it was dark, not light, for imagining that he sees, he does not see at all. See what he's trying to say? Unless we're aware, unless the heart is contributing to our consciousness, we're like a guy who closes his eyes and then thinks, you know, everything's dark. All he has to do is open his eyes. For imagining that he sees, he does not see at all. So too the soul of man, shutting fast its eyes, by which it is able to see God, has imagined for itself, and moving thereon, knows not that thinking that she is doing something, she is doing nothing. And this is the drive of our imagination, our passions, our memory, our desires, you see? For she is imagining what is not. She in all these is soul. I don't know why they translated she when I put it when I remember. Nor is it abiding in her original nature, but what it is evidently the product of her own disorder. For she is made, the soul, the heart, is made to see God and to be enlightened by him. But of its own accord, in God's stead, she has sought corruptible things in darkness. As the Spirit says somewhere in writing, gosh, he knows exactly where, God made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. That's from Ecclesiastes 7:29. Thus it has been that men from the first discovered and contrived and imagined evil for themselves. But it is now time to say how they came down to the madness of idolatry, that you may know that the invention of idols is truly due not to good but to evil. What has its origin in evil can never be pronounced good in any point, being evil altogether. Idolatry is making something other than God the ultimate concern. It can be the nation. It can be money. It can be political life. It can be something is the major concern of my life, not God. And that is idolatry. Now, I might have grown out of this stage where I'll worship sticks and stones, though, you know, there's stuff going on like that right now. People have reverted that far back. Okay. That's Athanasius. Now, I want to say a word about from Maximus. The mind receives passionate thoughts from these three sources: sense, experience, temperament, and memory. From the senses, where things are the source of passions, impress them and move the mind to passionate thinking. From temperament, when because of intemperate living or the work of demons or some sickness, the bodily development is altered and it moves the mind again to passionate thinking, emotional thinking, desire for sexual pleasure, for money, all that sort of thing. From memory, when it recalls the thoughts of things that have aroused our passion and moves the mind once more to passionate thinking. And that's as far as we'll go.